Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here, joined by Julie Beasley. Julie, how have you been?
I'm doing well. Just wrapping up the last week of school, last day of school, actually.
Last day of school, that is indeed one of the giant happenings here going on locally. Of course, the other one being the cicadas. But let's talk about the wrapping up of the school year first. Now, Julie, you have three kids in the school system, right?
Yeah, we have three kiddos. We'll have a middle schooler next year, I guess technically this year now, which does not seem possible. But the kids are all very excited for summer break, getting a little bit of downtime, hopefully a little bit of traveling. How was last day of school for you and your kiddo?
Oh, she is pretty excited. She's had a busy 4 or 5 weeks, so this will be a nice break for her, and in a couple of weeks she'll start up some summer camp. She likes to go over to the Y and enjoy the swimming and all the activities that they have over there.
A lot of fun at the Y summer camps.
Right, a lot of fun indeed. So do your kids have activities and sports going on this summer?
We do. We have a basketball camp scheduled and hopefully getting some music lessons and as well as a little bit of traveling. And our middle son is hoping to start baseball in August as well. So it's never a dull moment over here.
All right, now let's get into these cicadas. So I've lived in town for 15 years now, so I missed the last 17-year hoopla. Where I live, it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. There's not that great of a number in my neighborhood, I suppose. There's some here and there, but there's some here and there every year. But when you drive through town with the windows down and there's an area with a lot of trees, I mean, it's deafening.
You can absolutely notice that we have one tree where it's all over the side of the tree. I was driving this morning and one just flew on my dash. It's almost just like a bird ran right into my car. And I know over at the kids' school, they had one tree that was just like absolutely covered. It was like the ground was moving with cicadas. My kiddo had actually mentioned earlier this week, he was like, how many times have you seen cicadas? And this is the only time that I remember. I'm a born Hoosier, so I've lived here most of my life. But technically, I guess this would be the third annual cicada, I guess, invasion that I've experienced. This is the only one I remember, though. It seems to be a very big deal this year.
I am also told that Monroe Lake is inundated with them. I'll find that out here over the coming weeks or so when I get over there. Hopefully this will subside sometime soon and they'll
burrow their holes for another 17 years,
17
I guess.
Years. That's what I understand.
Well, let's take a look back at this week in history. All the way back on May 24th, 1844, Samuel Morse sent the very first message over a commercial telegraph line between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., and that message was, "What hath God wrought?" On May 25th, 1977, Star Wars was released in theaters for the first time. On May the 26th, in 1927, the very last Ford Model T rolled off the assembly line after a production run of 15 million vehicles, and that was a very impressive number back then. And May 27th, 1933, Walt Disney released the cartoon The Three Little Pigs and its hit song, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? And on May 28th, 1937, Volkswagen, the German automobile manufacturer, was founded. And our celebrity birthday today, John Fogerty turns 76 years old. Of course, Julie, John Fogerty was the lead singer and front person for CCR. And I would be remiss if I didn't announce our other celebrity birthday this week. My daughter turned 9 years of age.
Very happy birthday to her. And today on the show, we welcome Mike Colliver, chief engineer with AJ Foyt Racing, in preparation of this weekend's Indianapolis 500 and our community update brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon and music of Craig Brenner and the Crawdads. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investment. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, they're online at asbofindiana.com. Now, Skip, tell us what's happening.
19 Indiana legislators sent a letter to Governor Holcomb in hopes that he will override the mandate Indiana University established, which forces all staff and students to be fully vaccinated for COVID-19 before returning for the 2021-22 school year. The protest seems to have been originated by Indiana State Representative Jim Lucas, who wrote, quote, "Nobody is disputing that COVID-19 is real or dismissing the contributions of healthcare professionals over the past year. However, enforcing a mandate that students and faculty accept a vaccine that does not have full FDA approval is unconscionable. Students' classes will be dropped, others will be ostracized from IU, and employees will be terminated per this new policy," end quote. A spokesperson for Governor Holcomb stated that the governor will review the situation when he returns from his diplomatic trip to Israel.
A new resident-led task force has been named to review and make recommendations about law enforcement in Bloomington and Monroe County. The Future of Policing Task Force is being established as part of the city's commitment to the reduction of racial inequities and continuous improvement of outcomes for all residents. The Bloomington City Administration says that by evaluating all local law enforcement agencies, policies, practices, and protocols, as well as identifying current best practices in policing in the U.S. and abroad, the task force will create an optimal vision of law enforcement for Bloomington and Monroe County for the next 3 to 5 years.
Indiana conservation officers recovered the body of 34-year-old Linnell Harris of Indianapolis from the White River after 3 days of searching. Harris's body was located approximately 3/4 of a mile south of the rock dam south of Washington Street, where he was last seen going under the surface of the water on Tuesday evening. An exact cause of death is pending an autopsy result.
New nonstop flights to 6 different cities via Allegiant Air, Sun Country Airlines, and United Airlines will take off at Indianapolis International Airport this week, bringing first-ever routes to Hoosier travelers, as well as additional options to currently served cities. This week marks the first time Hoosiers have been able to fly nonstop from the Indy Airport to Hilton Head Island and Portland, Maine, both with United Airlines. United will also launch its nonstop flight to Charleston, giving travelers an additional option to fly nonstop to the city operating on their CRJ-550, which is a comfortable 50-seat regional aircraft. Allegiant Air launched nonstop flights to Boston and Los Angeles this week as well, a first for the airline from its Indy Airport base. Sun Country, a new airline to operate at Indianapolis, will also launch its inaugural flight to Minneapolis this week.
The City of Bloomington Department of Housing and Neighborhood Development invites residents to apply for the 2021 Citizens Academy to be held on 10 consecutive Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., August 26th to October 28th. The Academy will include a mix of in-person and virtual sessions with city staff, as well as tours of city departments and facilities. In-person sessions will adhere to CDC guidelines. Learn more by visiting bloomington.in.gov. And those are your local headlines. We'll be back with more of what's happening after this quick break.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Julie Beasley along with Skip Daly, and that was music from Craig and the Crawdads. Our community update is brought to us by the world-famous family-friendly Porthole Inn, the gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food, and their outdoor live music schedule has begun. You can check them out on Facebook for more details. A group of Bloomington kids have founded a nonprofit organization called Alexandra's Army, which is geared toward recruiting 100 area youth to perform a neighborhood food drive that will take place in the middle of June. The project supports the Hoosier Hills Food Bank and is a kid-run effort to help end local hunger. Those interested have until June 4th to register online at alexandrasarmy.org.
Well, Julie, joining us once again this year is our good friend, Bloomington resident and engineer for AJ Foyt Racing, Mike Colliver. Mike, how have you been?
Been doing good. Very busy at Speedway, obviously, getting ready for the big race on Sunday. Glad to be with you this evening and have a little conversation.
Well, it is indeed always a pleasure to have you on. Now, the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, that is a May tradition. However, last year, you guys were not able to race in May, and it got delayed because of COVID. When did you guys wind up racing? Was that in the fall?
We ran the 500 in August, and then we run the road course. They called it the Harvest Grand Prix in October that you're talking about.
So is it true last year there were no fans in the audience?
No fans whatsoever.
So you've been at this for 24, 25 years. What was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of an unusual environment. Obviously, it seemed to a lot of the crew members we discussed it, without the fans there, the energy level was very unusual. It seemed more like a test day than an actual Indy 500. Pretty much all the way through the race, all the way to the end, and even seeing the winners in winner's circle. Unfortunately, it wasn't us, but seeing them, it just obviously didn't have the same feel as it would with, you know, the usual 300,000-400,000 people in the crowd to spark that excitement.
Mike, go ahead and remind us what your role with the AJ Foyt Racing team is.
So basically, as the technical director at AJ Foyt Racing, I oversee all the engineering aspects of the car, pretty much all the shock absorber settings, the aerodynamic settings, the ride-heights, anything to do with the chassis setup and how we set the car up for the drivers, one, to feel comfortable, but secondly, also obviously to go as quick as possible and still be able to race in those conditions. So we've got a group of about 10 engineers now. We've kind of been growing the group over the last few years. I also am what's called a race engineer for one of the three cars that's entered in the race on Sunday. I'm the race engineer for the car number one, driven by J.R. Hildebrand. So in addition to my role kind of overseeing all three cars, I've got a lot of specific duties on the one car.
For a lot of people, Mike, this would be a dream job, having the opportunity to work with the Indy 500. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you ended up getting into this position? What was your journey like?
It's kind of an unusual story. I'm going to give you the 30-second tour. In a nutshell, I grew up going to the Indy 500 from the time I was 5-6 years old. Pretty much all I ever wanted to do was work on race cars. And unfortunately, I didn't really see a path to that. Ended up with a degree in biomedical engineer from Purdue. Spent about 6 years working, doing developing heart angioplasty products. And I was actually driving, doing some racing on my own. Saw that I pretty much lacked the talent and the money to make it as a big time racer. So decided to pursue the engineering avenue. Started as an entry level mechanic. Fortunately, was able to learn from a lot of people that were willing to give me time and answer stupid questions and kind of just work my way up the ranks. I've been fortunate enough now to be able to work with a lot of guys who I grew up just as looking to as childhood heroes, such as my current employer, AJ Foyt, which is just a lot of times I pinch myself and wonder how I ended up in that position. So, yeah, very fortunate.
I'm guessing that this Sunday is something that you look forward to for many, many months. What has the preparation been like since last August, since the Indy 500 ran late last year?
So we run the series as a whole. We run 17 races. So it's like any other sport. This is kind of our Super Bowl, so to speak. But we also have a lot of other weekends that fulfill our time and energies. But obviously, this is the one we focus towards. It's the biggest, the oldest, been around since 1911. So we're running three cars currently, which is an expansion for us. We actually entered four in the race. Unfortunately, one of the cars didn't qualify, but it has been a major undertaking for the entire team to expand, to run in extra cars, stretches us a little bit thin. But in general, we do all the development we can as a small team, in addition to trying to keep up and run the rest of the season. So it's pretty much it's a 52-week a year job these days. 20 years ago, it was 3 or 4 months off in the winter, but unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, it's not that way anymore. It's pretty much wide open, full throttle all year round.
Mike, rewind a little bit. Take us back to mid-late April and the past 5 or 6 weeks. What are those like for somebody in your position?
Somebody in my position, it is pretty much 7 days a week, probably on minimum 12 to 14 hour a day, whether that's being at the race shop, working on new components, working with the shock engineers, working with the guys that are doing simulation work for us, whether it's overseeing a redesign of a small component on the car, a real variety of things. But in general, as the technical director, is making sure that the engineering group as a whole are all headed in the right direction or all trying to gear ourselves towards reaching the same objectives. And a lot of that is making sure we're seeing the big picture, not necessarily getting lost in the minutia some days, because it's very easy to get lost in doing too much detail and then missing the big picture. So I think a lot of my effort is towards gearing, making sure everybody's working towards the big picture and that nothing big falls through the cracks. One of the things I look at on race day is we're up against 33 of the best teams in the world. A lot of times it comes down to the team that minimizes their mistakes, like any sport. It comes down to, like in the NFL, it comes down to maybe a dropped pass in the end zone at the end of the game. We look at it the same way. Can our pit crew, they don't have to have the very best pit stops every stop, but it's the one bad one that kills you. Is the setup have to be perfect for every lap? No. But if the setup goes bad on one stint of tires, if we miss the tire pressure, then the race is over. So one of the things I push is making sure we minimize our mistakes.
All right, Mike, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to have you discuss some of the aspects of the team dynamic involved in racing. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You are listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network, and you were just listening to some music from Craig and the Crawdads this week. Some nice tunes there. Again, we're joined today by Mike Colliver with AJ Foyt Racing, talking about the Indy 500 coming up here in just a few days. Now, Mike, before we bumped into commercial, we were talking a little bit about how you entered four drivers for this year. You will have three. What is the team dynamic like, and what is the energy like in the few days leading up to the Indy 500?
So we'll go back a couple weeks maybe and just start talking. One of the things is expanding from a two-car full-time team to, say, the four cars that are trying to qualify for the race is finding mechanics, engineers, electronics people that are specific to our industry that understand these cars. A lot of the work I've done is helping the team manager, the VP of operations, locate some of those resources, get them in place, and then organize those guys and make sure that we've got best fits and best positions. So the two full-time cars, we try not to disrupt what they do week in and week out, because we don't want to minimize or take away from their effort to try to run the extra cars. So that's probably the majority of the work leading up to it. Once we got to the track, everybody just starts working together as a group, starts blending. A lot of guys in the paddock know each other and maybe have worked together before, but it takes a few of those days to get everybody just kind of organized and head in the same direction. So that's a big part of it. From a team standpoint, dynamics excellent. A lot of hardworking guys, a lot of guys that are sacrificing time away from home, family, a lot of them from out of town, living in a hotel right now. I think the biggest thing is they all share the passion of racing, the Indy 500, and just general camaraderie, teamwork, and working towards that common goal of trying to win the race on Sunday.
Now, Mike, I'm not somebody that follows racing very closely. Help me understand how three or four different drivers working on the same team help each other on the track during the race.
That's an excellent question. So leading up to the race, every day we're out on the track running, and we go through what we call a test plan almost every day. So the engineers and the drivers will coordinate components we want to try, setup changes we want to attempt. And at the end of the day, we all gather and go through each one of those changes and try and make all four cars better. Some specific setups may not work for all four or three drivers. The interesting thing is that all the drivers that we have currently, and the same with the engineers, understand that we all work for one guy, and his name's AJ Foyt. And the goal is to put an AJ Foyt racing car in Victory Circle on Sunday. For the first 400 miles, they're all going to race pretty clean. The three guys we have, if they're all running together, they're going to take care of each other, look out for each other. But I'll guarantee you, they're all competitors. And when it comes down to the last 10 or 15 miles, if they're running 1, 2, 3, there's no team orders. It's going to come down to the driver. You know, if one of them ends up winning the thing, then that's best man wins at that point in time, and they're all going to support that.
Mike, talk to us about the month of May leading up to this weekend. I know there's the Grand Prix, and then there's time trials and all the sort.
So the Grand Prix took place 2 weeks ago, so it's on the same facility, but it's basically a 2.5 mile winding, very flat road course where the 500 takes place on an oval that's a high speed, 230 mile an hour oval with four corners with banking. The Grand Prix is a winding, very flat track with about 14 corners. And it kind of is a kickoff, so to speak, to the month of May. 40, 50 years ago, the month of May actually started May 1st. You would start testing for the oval. And it was a real stretched out process. What they've tried to do is to minimize or to save teams cost is to cut down the actual number of days you practice for the 500, but still keep the feel of the month of May alive. And as part of that, then they've introduced the Grand Prix. So the Grand Prix is kind of the opening to the month of May. We do the Grand Prix, and then we've got a day or two to turn the cars around from the road course specification into the oval spec and get ready first few days of practice for the 500. So it's still as grueling as it ever was. It's just a little bit of a different aspect now.
You talked about what the weeks are leading up to the Indy 500. What is it like in the final few days, final few hours for you? What is your day going to look like on Saturday and going into Sunday? Is it a very high stress time and working with a lot of new teammates and getting everything ready for Sunday?
It depends on how well it's going up to that point. If you've had a pretty successful month and you feel confident about your car, you leave and you're ready to come in Sunday morning and you know you haven't made too many changes prior to the end of testing, then you can feel pretty confident about it. If you end the last test, the end of carb day, and you don't feel quite as confident about it, and you've had to make a lot of changes of the car, then you've got some unknowns, then it's a little more stressful. Really, for everybody involved, though, whether that's the tire guy who's taking care of the tire pressures, whether that's the engineer who's in charge of the whole car, whether that's the chief mechanic or a junior mechanic who, you know, tightened a nut and a bolt on a car, everybody knows that as a team, your role is critical in how that car operates and how you're going to run that day. So I think there's a little bit of tension and stress in everybody that's part of the team. But then obviously there's optimism that's part of it also. So you go into the morning thinking, okay, this could be our day. And you know, at the end of the day, only one team's going to win. And if it's you, it's a pretty major event in your life.
All right, Mike, go ahead and promote AJ Foyt Racing for this year's Indy 500. Who do you have out there? What are their numbers? And what are the chances?
All right, so this year, we had four really excellent cars. Unfortunately, one of them didn't make the race. We've got one car is actually car number one, driven by J.R. Hildebrand, and it's a really beautiful car. It's a 60th anniversary of A.J. Foyt's first win in 1961. So the paint job is commemorative to the car that A.J. ran in 1961. It's sponsored by ABC Supply Company, who rejoined us this year. They used to be a full-time sponsor. They wanted to come back for the 500 for AJ's 60th anniversary. The crew shirts are really cool because they're kind of throwback shirts. The two other cars, we've got Sebastian Bourdais, who's driving number 14, which is kind of AJ's signature number. He's one of our full-time drivers, very accomplished driver, probably should have won the 500 once or twice. Unfortunately, he's been caught up in some accidents in the past that prevented that. And then we've got a second-year driver named Dalton Kellett, and he's driving the number four car, which is sponsored by K-Line, which is a company out of Canada. And so we've got a really good opportunity of running some guys in the top 10 and hopefully cracking the winner's circle.
Did we miss anything that our audience should know about this year's race?
I don't think so, other than obviously seats are limited. Normally it's 350,000 people. They're only letting 140,000 in this year, so tickets are hard to come by. We'd love to see you out there if you can get out there and get a ticket. If not, it's going to be on NBC Sports live, and I think it comes on around noon on Sunday. So please tune in and keep an eye on the race and root for the AJ Foyt boys.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us again this year. We wish you, your three drivers, and the entire AJ Foyt Racing team all the greatest success in this weekend's big race. We hope that you're drinking milk on Sunday.
Hopefully some milk, exactly. Thank you.
Once again, that's Mike Oliver, Bloomington resident with the AJ Foyt Racing Team. They've got three drivers in this year's race. We're wishing them all the greatest success. We'd also like to thank our friends from the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update and Craig and the Crawdads for providing music for us throughout the month of May. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us each and every week as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.